Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Koshrim Dli B'Piskia. Okay, so the question over here is, we've been talking about the differences between the Kesher Shel Kayama and the Kesher Sheina Shel Kayama and the different stages, and now we've got a situation where we need to tie a string or something to a bucket in order to raise water on Shabbos. So what are we allowed to do? So the Tanakhama says you're allowed to use a belt because you're not going to leave your belt there. So even if this is a belt that you would, we're not talking about our buckle belts, we're talking about a belt that you would be tying, there's no problem because you're certainly not going to leave an expensive belt attached to a bucket and you'll take it off. And therefore, it's no chashash that it will be left there long term. But certainly not with a rope. Rabbi Yehuda is matir, even with a rope, which is strange. The Gemara is going to ask, how could that be? Wouldn't that be a kesher shel kayama? Klal amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this klal is clearly not meant to be an explanation of what he just said. Klal amar Rabbi Yehuda, ko kesher she'ino shel kayama, ein chayavin alav. If it's not a kesher shel kayama, there's no chiyuv. So obviously it's completely unrelated to his prior statement, because over here he's not talking about something being mutter anyway. He's just explaining what you'd be chayav on, but Rabbi Yehuda was matir a moment ago. So Tosus wonders what indeed is he referring to. And it would appear, I mean, there's possibilities that he's going back to the Reisha, and it's explaining that ein chayavim aleihem, so he's explaining why ein chayavim aleihem in the beginning of the Mishnah. It's also possible that the main point that he's making is to make it very clear that he holds that even a bow is considered to be a act of kesher, and that if it would be shel kayama, it would also be chayav. We're going to see this question later on. Anyway, so, ask the Gemara, what in the world are we talking about when Rabbi Yehuda says that you can use a rope? What kind of rope would this be? I mean, ilan mechevel de alma, we're talking about just a regular rope? How could Rabbi Yehuda be mater a regular rope? Wouldn't that be a kesher shel kayama? Ela chevel de gardis. We must be talking about over here is one of the ropes that are used in weaving. And over there, as we know, we've spoken about a number of different issues where you need to use the ropes for setting up the warp. And those kind of ropes are certainly not going to be left there. And because of that, there's no problem. What indeed would be the problem, according to the Tanakhama? Why would a Hevel Shogardi be less than a belt? Must be the Meimer de Rabbanon Savri Gazrina Hevel de Gardi Yotu Hevel de Yama. Apparently, the Rabbanon hold, look, I mean, people, if you allow them to use a rope under certain circumstances, they'll think that it's just okay to tie a rope to a bucket. And if they tie a regular rope to a bucket, they'd be tying a kesher shel kayama, which would be mechayev the midiraisa. So, because of that, the Rabbanon were gozer. But that would mean that what? The Rabbi Yehuda says, we're not gozer, but actually, it would appear from another place that Rabbi Yehuda is even more makpid on being gozer because of the problems of people's confusion of knots. Because, take a look at this. Chevel d'li shenifsak lo yekoshro ela onvo. So here it says if there's a break in a rope that holds a bucket, then the halacha is that you should be careful not to make a knot, but to own on Shabbos, to only make a loop, which would not be considered to be a long-term solution. And we saw before that since it can be untied with one hand. Okay, so we were talking about what would be the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, it appears that we don't want to let you use even the type of chevel of a gardi because people might confuse that with a normal chevel and come to do an Isser D'Oraisa, which would mean that the Rabbanan don't fear, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't fear that. But the problem is that we find that Dafka Reb Yehuda is the one who is more makpid on making a gzera, because when we get to the question about what happens when you have a rip in a rope, and it says in the Braita that you have to make sure that you should not tie it. Actually, this is in Pesachim, really. You should not tie it. You should just loop it. And Reb Yehuda says, no, don't do that. Don't loop it. Instead, what you should do is you should take your belt. You should take a money belt, wrap it around it, but don't make a loop. I understand. So now that would mean that Reb Yehuda is the one, Dafka, who's more makpid on our confusing a loop for a knot. And over here he says, we don't need to worry about confusing a regular rope with the rope of a gardi, even though it certainly looks very much the same. And kashad rabbanan ad rabbanan, rabbanan over there are not makbid on the loop. And they're not makbid to say we should be gezer a loop, because you'll tie it. Says Gemara, look, you're completely misunderstanding it. There's no comparison between the two sugyas here. The rabbanan ad rabbanan is not a problem, because it's much easier to mistake one type of rope for another type of rope than it is for somebody to get mixed up and think that making a loop is the same as making a knot. I mean, obviously, you're being careful to do something that you can simply undo with one hand. We said before, maybe even Rebbe Meir would be made that that was okay. And as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, Rebbe Yehuda's svara over here is not because of the fact that he says we don't worry about the gezeira, and over there he says we do worry about the gezeira. There's no gezeira. Reb Yehuda says the reason that you can't make a loop is lavishum de miklafa aniva bikshira. It's not because you're going to get confused. It's because aniva is kshira, according to him. There is no difference between a long-term loop and a long-term knot. And therefore, Reb Yehuda says a chas v'shalom to do that. That itself is awesome. Forget about a gzera, maybe you'll get confused. Omer Rebab, Omer Rebikya Barashi, Omer Rav, Mevi Adam Chevel Mitoch Beito, V'koshro Bepara U'Be'evos. You're allowed to bring a rope from your house and tie it on two sides, one side to the para and the other side to the feeding trough, to make sure that it's not going to wander away. Eit v'revacha aricha, Dehu revacha bar popol rebaba, chevel shebe evos koshro bepara, vesheba para koshro be evos, uvevat shalo yavi chevel mitoch beto, vikshor bepara ube evos. If you have one side already tied, and now you want to tie one end to the other, that you can do. But you certainly cannot bring a new rope and tie it on both sides to the para and the evos, because you're going to leave it there. So then if at one side, you're going to leave. So you'll leave the side that's attached to the evos. So then you're going to be doing a kesher shekayomah. So how do we say you are allowed to bring it from your house? And the teretz is exactly the same as we were metaretz saliba de Rebbe Yehuda. Hotom chevel di alma, hocho chevel di gardi. Where is there a problem that you may leave it? Only if it's just a regular old-fashioned rope, that indeed you can't bring from your house. But where were we saying over here that there's no problem? It's talking about where it's a chevel that is used for weaving, and therefore you cannot leave it there because you need it for other purposes. Omer Abiyara Meshmuel, Klei Kivoy, Mutar L'Tatalam B'Shabbat. Actually, you're allowed to move all of the various things that a weaver would use. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Bo'emine Merev Yehuda. And what about the Kovid Elyon and the Kovid Tachton? Mahu? What about the actual, remember we had, the Gemara is really not referring to the kind of loom that we were talking about, which is the one that's basically horizontal, and the Kovid Elyon was actually the Kovid Tachton, the way that that we were using it there. This is talking about a regular household loom, which is vertical. And the idea over here is you have that heavy-duty roller upon which you roll the finished cloth, and then you have the heavy-duty roller on top from which you hang the warp. So those are pretty heavy. And the question over here is actually very interesting. although on the surface, it seems to be the question of whether this is, would be considered to be a muktzemach b'schisaron kis, because they're such important parts of your loom, you're not going to want to use them for other purposes. But actually, even though it would seem to be a question of whether we're talking about the question, the issue of muktzemach b'schisaron kis, Rashi says a very strange thing, which is only strange until you remember that we're talking about Rav Yehuda over here. Rashi says that the problem over here would be the question of whether the weaver is makbid on it, because if he's makbid on it, so then it becomes muktzah machmas iser, or not really, but muktzah, because it's a klisha malachtola iser, which doesn't make sense on two levels. First of all, klisha malachtola iser, you are allowed to use for regular purposes. And secondly, as Rabbi Veger asks, why would it be dependent on his hakpada? So, Lamaisa, if you realize we're talking over here, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see later on, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that a klisha malachto le'iser actually cannot be used for anything other than its primary purpose. So the question, therefore, would be whether the Kovet Elyon and the Kovet Tachtein is miyuchad for that purpose. And that's what Rashi is really referring to, in which case it would be a klisha malachto le'iser. We could translate this into our terms, because we don't hold this way, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the question would be, indeed, whether it would be muktzah machmas b'schisaron kis because of the hakpada. In any event, what would be the din even about that? They asked him, and he wasn't sure. So sometimes he would say, yeah, I think it's mutter. Then he's, no, it's usser. Verafia biyode, it was very unclear to him. Itmar, omer emnachon omer shmuel, kli kavoy mutter letartalam b'shabbos, afilu kovet elyon v'kovet tachton. The only thing that you cannot move that would be part of the normal household loom would be the amudim. When on the amudim is something that keep it standing. What's wrong with that? Maishla amudim de lo. Is it because if you pull the amudim out of the ground, so then you're left with a hole in the ground? But that's not what you were setting out to do. The gumot memela kahavian. I mean, obviously the gumot were there before, but when you pull it out, it may be mitrachev a little bit. But that's nothing that you're, we know that that's mutter because we had before. Remember that if somebody puts some turnips or lettuces, he puts it or radishes into the ground underneath the vine, remember? So, We had the question over there, all kinds of shilas. Is there an Isser of Kelayim? Is there an Isser of, you need to take off new Meiser? Is there an Isser to do this on Shvias? You're really only doing it in order to keep it fresh. And would you be allowed to take it out on Shabbos? So we said over there, yes, you could actually take it out of the ground on Shabbos as long as you left some of the leaves on top that you're going to hold it by and pull it out with. So we see that the creation of a hole where the hole was there from before, the fact that you're uncovering it now is not considered to be a problem on Shabbos. So why cannot you move the actual amudim of the loom? Nitolim b'Shabbat. That's because that is outdoors. And b'sadelo atil ha'shvi'e gumot. So when you take it out of the ground, tell me, the first thing that's going to be in your mind is you're going to want to actually fill up the hole? Of course not. Masha Enkein, in a bayit, where over there you pull something out of the floor, you're leaving a big hole in the floor. It's just a natural tendency that you have that you would want to kick back the dirt into the hole, and then you'll come to be mashva gumot on Shabbat, and you'll be over on binyan. Boy mine Reb Yochanan, Reb Yehuda bar Livoy, kli kivoy, kigun, Kovid Elyon, the Kovid Tachton, Maul Taltalan b'Shabbat, Omale, Ein Metaltalim. No, you cannot. My timer, Lafisha Ein Metaltalim, because even during the week, this is not something that people normally lift up because it's simply too heavy. And since that's the case, it is indeed miyuchad to be a klisha malachtoli yisr, the way Rashi has been talking about the sugya. And now we're ready for our Kapitan.
Wow, just in the nick of time.
Whew. Hey, wait a minute. What are we going to do when you go to Finland next week and Shabbos is out at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, it looks like we're going to have to drag Doc away from that Malava Malka, where she's hiding behind. All right, we'll let him know in advance. Mikaplima Takelim, now we're getting into a whole new issue. And that issue, which has very much to do with the weaving process in the Mishkan, we talked about needing to weave the various and needing to trap the various coverings for the Mishkan, and that led us to sewing, and that led us to being Korea, and that led us to needing to make a knot. And now we need to remember that one of the important things about weaving in the Mishkan was actually begodim, because that is a major part of the Asiyas HaMishkan, so that there be a Kohen that can be Oved in the Mishkan. Now, the question is, how do we treat begodim on Shabbat? Now, after begodim are washed, they become very sensitive to being folded. And therefore, the Mishnah now discusses the issue about whether you are allowed to fold a beged on Shabbat. This, of course, has tremendous implications, as people know. You're allowed to fold your Shabbat, your talis on Shabbat after davening, and so on. So these are the questions that we are looking at now. And the Mishnah begins by making a blanket statement that mekaplim et hakelim, you are allowed to fold up various articles of clothing, even if it's going to take you four or five times to get it right, and that's fine. So if you don't fold it, it's going to be not usable for Shabbos. So every time you take up your clothing, also is true, you're allowed to fold it as long as you're going to be reusing it on Shabbos. You can also set up your beds and fix the linen and everything from Lele Shabbat in the nighttime for Shabbos, but you're not allowed, after you've slept in the bed, you're not allowed to make the bed for Matzai Shabbos. We'll discuss all of this. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Mekaplim et hakelim, Umatzi'in et hamitot b'yom ha-kippurim l'Shabbat. You're also allowed, because the idea of the Kedusha of Shabbos being greater than Yom HaKippurim would mean that you would be allowed to do the kind of things they have, the same dinim, but you'd be allowed to see your Yom Kippur as a preparation for your Shabbos. And because of that also, if you had korbanos that were brought on Shabbos and they need to be completed, the burning needs to be completed on Yom Kippur, you can do that, but not the other way around. Avalosh Yom HaKippurim b'Shabbat, because that's a lower level of Kedusha. Rabbi Akiva Eimer, lo shel Shabbat krevim b'Yom HaKippurim, velo shel Yom HaKippurim krevim b'Shabbat. All of this we'll get to later on. But first, let's take a look at the question of folding clothing. So, Amar Divei Rabbi Yanei, lo shonu ela ba'adam echad. First of all, you need to know that in order for it to be mutter, for you to fold clothing, it has to be something that one person is folding. Not that you take a sheet, let's say, and you have two guys holding it, pulling on it, and therefore making it very, very tight. The folds are very perfect. That you can't do. Furthermore, ba'adam echad nami lo amrim, ela b'chadashim, avo b'yashanim lo. It's also something that can only be done if these are relatively new clothing. But once they are old clothing, then they desperately need your work in order to be usable, because they lose their original creases. And it's important for them to look decent by your pressing them down on the crease again. And because of that, there it would be more usser. Now, there's a big question about what is the isser here, bichlal. From Tosfos, it appears, and we'll talk about this in a second, that the Isser is Tircha, that because of the amount of work that you're going to have to put in, and he connects this to the Shabbos Yom HaKippurim or the Matzina Tamitot, where over there, since what we're talking about is being Toireach from Shabbat to Chol, so he understands the entire question over here is about Tircha. So Tosfos says that the problem over here is that you would not be allowed to fold your talit in the Beit HaKnesset because it would be for the purpose of tomorrow. And that has to do with his understanding the entire issue is in terms of Tircha. Now, the Rambam understands that the question over here is in terms of Tikkun. So you're being metaken the kli by making it folded. Now we're going to see that this makes tremendous nafkaminas lahalacha in how it is that we would see in particular cases what the din would be, which we'll get to in a second because this is so nageya lahalacha. So let's just review it again. It has to be one person who's doing it. It has to be clothing that is relatively new, where it still has creases. Furthermore, even if it's new, chadashim nami, it would have to be white. But if it's colored, then it's too much of a tikkun, or it's more tircha for some reason. Again, we'll talk about this in a moment. Furthermore, it has to be that you need this beged for Shabbos, because ein lo la'achalif, you don't have another beged that you're going to be able to wear for Shabbos. Avo yesh lo la'achalif, lo. Now, there's a question that Tosfos raises here. Does the suit that you're going to be able to change into, does it have to be just as nice as this suit? How about if you have a lower quality suit and you'd prefer to wear the better suit? So again, all of these issues, by the way, I just want to add also that we talk about Shnei B'nei Adam. The Peskim say this is also to tell you that you cannot use a flat surface for folding. You need to fold it in your hands, but you can't put it down on a surface and then fold it over the surface by pressing down. So the question over here would be, in terms of the halacha l'maisa, this is something of a really problematic issue, as you know. Lots of people do fold their talisim. The nafkamina, the Ravid goes out of his way to argue with the Rambam and to say that and to say that the issue is not in terms of tikkun, it's in terms of being tereach. So, there will be a tremendous nafkamina between the two shitas, because let's say that you would be folding something in a way that would not really be a tikkun at all, that even in the week, that type of thing would not be viewed as a tikkun. There wouldn't be any problem. Mashenken, if you're worried about tircha, then the question of being tereach from Shabbos to Chol, which is what Tosfos says and the Ravid say, then that would be a problem. So you wouldn't be able to fold your talit even if it were not on the correct folds, because you're still being tereach, possibly. I'll explain in a moment why it's only possibly. If, on the other hand, the issue is tikkun, then there would be no problem in folding it in a way that's inappropriate. Now, the Orach HaShulchan says, look, it can't possibly mean that you're supposed to, what are you supposed to do if you can't fold it even on something that is not the normal fold? You're supposed to take your talus and throw it over a chair or something? That's hardly human, unfortunately. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to be machmer on yourself, not even to fold it that way, that would be fine. So he apparently doesn't know that it's not human. That's the words of the Orach HaShulchan. That's no human being would do that. Okay, but what we need to take into consideration is this. When the Rambam presents the halacha, it's in terms of kipulim, which we're going to see later on. It's in terms of making, pleats. So pleats are a tremendous amount of tircha to make. And what it is that they were talking about in terms of folding may be very different than what we are thinking about in terms of folding. So, and this is brought even by the Beis Yosef, that the kolbo actually says that our kippul is not considered to be kippul at all. They used to, first of all, remember that our materials are very different, require much less kippul, just dumb in terms of the practicalities of the things. I mean, we use a lot of no iron material, no iron cotton, or cotton polyester mixes, or even polyester, where the amount of care in terms of kippul that's necessary is very low. Furthermore, the begudim are oftentimes manufactured in such a way that they do not lose their crease. So you have these permanently creased clothing, especially pants and so on, in which the question of whether you're mekapalit on the crease or not is not a function of tircha at all. Furthermore, as Rav Shlomo Zalman mentioned to to Rav Neuwirth, which he brings in a footnote, that it's very strange that what we call kippul, nobody has ever been able to see any difference between white clothing and colored clothing. So how would the Gemara take it so for granted that there's a difference in terms of the Isser when there's absolutely no discernible difference that anybody can tell you from any level of expertise, people that he's spoken to, that there would be a difference in terms of kippul, which further seems to be like the kolbo. Our kippul is not what the Gemara is talking about, this casual folding something up again. It means where you normally it would be laid down on a piece and you would carefully fold everything. By the way, if you ever had a shirt that is actually made out of cotton that does not have any no iron properties and is very sensitive to kippul, you'll know exactly what the kolbo is talking about. Because those kind of shirts, when they come out of the laundry, if you don't do a very good job of pressing them down, and the kolbo even suggests that what they are talking about kippul is between pieces of wood that presses down on it. Not heated, so it's not ironing, maybe, by our standards of ironing, but it's a very serious tikkun for the beged and requires a great deal of preparation and tircha in order to get everything out, as you know. When you leave one little fold in there and you forgot to check the back of the shirt is basically going to be unwearable. So halacha l'maaseh, many people, despite the fact that the Mishnah Brura is makbid on it, again, remember, that was before the changes in materials, many people rely, halacha l'maaseh, on the kolbo. You'll see many, many people folding their talitot, even if it is on the original fold, and that's because with the materials that we have, there isn't really neither a tikkun nor a tircha. We don't really paskin the din of tircha anyway, because most of the Rishonim follow the Rambam, that it's tikkun, not tircha, not like Tosfos, including the tur. And because of that, there is certainly what to rely on, that this part is not all of these tremendous chumras, that you need all of these tna'im in order to be able to fold a piece of clothing, is simply not nogea. Furthermore, as far as the making of the beds is concerned, which is a very troublesome point, again, as the poskim point out, this is talking about in times where the beds were not part of the way in which you would live during the day in the house. Obviously, to have a bed that is unmade in a room that you're using on Shabbos is a bizoyan for Shabbos. Over there, you would be making it not for the night, you would be making it for the Kavod Shabbos of the day. The Aruch HaShulchan even suggests that what we're talking... Moshe, your eyes are closing. Yes. So the Aruch HaShulchan even suggests... I guess even just mentioning the bed was too much for you, huh? So Aruch HaShulchan even suggests that there's a different way of making a bed for sleeping as opposed to just making the bed so that it should look nice, and that what the Mishnah is talking about is preparing a bed for sleep, and that indeed, if you're preparing it for sleep on Mitzvah Shabbos, that's what the covers folded down and so on, and everything has to be in its place. Masha Enkein, as he says somewhat paradoxically, it's easier to make a bed not for sleeping, so it should just be presentable, you know, and that would not be a problem. The Mishnah is talking about preparing a different kind of preparation for Mitzvah Shabbos. Okay. In any event, with that, we can continue and get to some of the sweeter and easier to deal with parts of our daf today.
Sorry, Rebbe. Yeah. Chazal talk about Mita Mutsas for Shabbos, or like we just had for Aaron to lie down.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Mita Mutsat? Which way is it?
I would assume that since it's meant for purposes of reproductive acts, that it's something that is meant to be sleeping in. It's Mita Mutsat for Tamid Chachomim on Erev Shabbos, is the Lashon of the Gemara. Anyway, so let's continue. What about, there's also an interesting thing that has to do with clothing, and that is changing your clothing for Shabbos. So we just said before that if you don't have something nice to change into, so then we're going to be mat to you to fold it. Now, in Beis Rabbi Gamliel, they would not even fold their white clothing because they had lots of alternative outfits to wear. Omer Avuna, if somebody has something to switch into, now this is not referring to folding. This means if you have clothing that is special for Shabbos, so then change. But if you don't, do something to make your begadim more Shabbistic. So you shall shel begadav. What you should do is normally when you're going around, you would roll, they would roll up the hem so that it doesn't get dirty because they're busy in the fields and so on. But on Shabbos, you can look like somebody who's just sitting at home all day and have your begadim come all the way down. Matkiflor of Safra, doesn't that make you look very stuck up? Oh, mitchazik ramut rucha, I mean, you know, people that walk like that with their clothes dragging on the ground are the kind of people that live in carpeted palaces. No, says he. Given to koyuma lo ka'avid, since you would never do that during the week, and you're only doing it now, it's clear that it's for Kavod Shabbos, and lo mitchazi keramut rucha, it doesn't look in any way like you're stuck up. So when it says in the Pasuk, how it is that we're supposed to treat Shabbos Kedesh, so im tashiv mishabbat raglecha, asot chafatzecha b'yom kodshi, Vikarata le Shabbat Oneg, Ligdosh Hashem Chubad, Vichibato Measot Rachecha, Mimtso Heftzecha Vidaber Davar. What do those things mean? So when we talk about the idea of Chibadito, Chibadito means covered. Covered is clothing. Shelo yehi malbushcha shel Shabbat ka malbushcha shel Chol. Ki oda Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan actually used to address his clothing and called it mechabdotai. It's that which gives me honor. And because of that, we see that it's clear that he sees the halacha of clothing in terms of a chibad tot. We'll see that actually it's a machlokas later on, but this is his Rabbi Yochanan Shita. What is me'asot rachecha? That means shelo yehei luchacha shel Shabbat ki luchacha shel Chol. You cannot walk on Shabbos the way you would during the week. Mimtso chafatzecha is do not do the things that you would normally do. To look after your things, maybe going outside, take a trip around your field, see where the watering system is, needs to be repaired, and so on. That's usur. But chavtzei shamayim, it's only chavtzecha. Chavtzei shamayim, to find out perhaps where you need to give tzedakah, what kind of people have what requirements, are there any kids that need shidduchim, and so on and so forth. That would certainly be mutter. Vidaber davar. Don't talk on Shabbos the way that you talk during the week. But only dibur is asur, hirhur is mutar. So you are allowed to think about things that you wouldn't be allowed to speak about on Shabbos. Now, because of this, Rashi understands that the lo ye diburcha shel Shabbat would be things that are osur on Shabbat. Let's say business ideas. Mekach u'memkar, he says. Or making cheshbenes about how much something is going to cost you with someone. Tosfos says, well, there's actually an amazing Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi says that it was bekoshi that the Chachomim were even matir you to say Shalom Aleichem to a friend on Shabbos. You really should not have your mind on anything but speaking Divrei Torah and Inyanim of Shabbos. And there's a beautiful story that Tosfos brings from the Medrash that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had a grandma who used to babble a lot. So when it came to Shabbos and she was starting to carry on with one of her long-winded babbles, so he said to her, Grandma, it's Shabbos. And she stopped. So that is an indication of the level of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's grandma. Okay, oh, Shabbos, she shouldn't really talk. But it means that the not speaking bichlal of Dvarim Batalim is what we're talking about, not Mamish Isurim. But then if that's the case, it doesn't make sense for the Gemara to have the girsa of Dibur Osur Hirhur Mutter. I mean, that's obviously the point. So in other words, you are allowed to think in your heart about, oy, I spent too much money on that. Again, this is some of the Rishonim say that's because lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharet. We can't tell you that you have to control your mind ad kedei kach, but you shouldn't speak about it. Anyway, bishleima kulo l'chaya. I understand what all of these things mean, but what does it mean not to walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week? What does that mean? Ki odam ravuna marav amil amar vaba amar ravuna hayama alech b'shabbat. Somebody's walking along the road, and he comes to a big puddle, okay, or to an amat hamayim, which were the irrigation ditches. So now, can he jump over it? Well, it depends. Im yochola niyachet raglo rishona kodem shteyaker shniya mutar v'im lav asur. If it's not that wide that he would have a problem if he puts one foot over on one side, that necessarily he would have had to pull his other foot off of the ground, then he can even jump over it. But if it's that long, if it's that wide that he has to take his other foot off the ground, then it's inappropriate for Shabbos. Matkifla Rava, so what are you asking him to do? I don't understand. Are you asking him to walk all around the block? I mean, so then he's being mefish bilucha. Then now he's adding a lot of unnecessary walking on Shabbos. How is that a covered Shabbos? Is he supposed to go through the water? Zinne dimitvas and mani maya. What if he gets his clothes wet and he could accidentally come lidei schita? So this is not a good example of that. Barak even delo efshe shaper dami. Obviously, over here, the circumstances are such that you have to do something that's a little bit inappropriate. That's not what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is talking about kedaboy minei Rav Mori Rav min Rav Yishmol Rav Yosi ma'aliv so'apsi agasa b'shabbat. Are you allowed to take a long footstep, which is more than an amma? Or Marley, and who said you're allowed to do that even during the week, that you're asking me whether it's appropriate for Shabbos? Shani Omer Psiaga Sanotelet Echad Michamesh Meot Mimor Enav Shel Adam. That if it's a long step, it affects your vision. And the only way to get that vision back is by making sure that you drink from the Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. But if it's done on Shabbos, then it's not going to help you. Boy, minei Rav Mira Bishmol Rav Yosi. Another thing, are you allowed to eat chalk on Shabbos? I'm sure many of you are familiar with the very interesting phenomena of kids that eat chalk, right? Have you heard about this? Yeah. So they'll dig out plaster from the wall and eat it. And it's an amazingly, amazingly sophisticated biological response in which they actually need the mineral, and they are naturally attracted to the chalk to eat it. And the question is, would you be allowed to actually eat that from the ground in the event that you have that need, or would it be considered to be a medicinal thing and therefore would be usher because of the shaila of shechika samamoni? So Rabbi Yishmael said to him, and who said you're allowed to eat dirt during the week? That's very dangerous. That's not something you should do. If you need chalk, go to a doctor and let them get you USB chalk. Omer Abami, kol ochel miafra shel bavel ki ilu ochel mipsar avotav. If you eat the bavel ground, you might as well be eating the bodies of your forefathers. It's as if you're eating all of the filthy, crawly creepies that were on the earth, because it says in the Mabul, Vayimach et kol hayikum. Omer Resh Lakish, and Resh Lakish pointed out, Lomanik Rishma Shinar. Why is Bava called Shinar? Shekol Meitei Mabul Ninaru Lesham. Everything that died in the Mabul ended up on the lowest place, which was the valley of Bava. Om Reb Yochanan, Lomanik Rishma Mitzula. Why do we call it the Mitzula? Shekol Meitei Mabul Nitzalalu Lesham, into the Mitzulot of the Yam. So, wait a minute. I mean, that's not serious, right? I mean, there's nothing left of all of that stuff at the end of the Mabul. They turn it to dirt. Yeah, obviously it isn't meant to be taken seriously. The whole point is that we're bringing this up is because, as Rabbi Shmuel pointed out, it is unhealthy to eat dirt, even if you need minerals that you're going to get from it. So because of that, the Rabbanon were gozer, that it's as if you're eating shkatsu v'ramashim. They didn't really mean it. Now, who gavet ochel gargish tav ochel tachle? There was this guy who would eat dirt, and then he ate some cress, and that cress took root in his stomach and ended up puncturing his heart. Bad news. Anyway, when it says, V'rachatz v'sacht v'samtzim lotayach, when Ruth was told by Naomi to go down, wash, and put on your beautiful dress. It just says your dress. I mean, she certainly wasn't naked that she would have to put on a dress. So Omer Abelazar is referring to Begadim Shel Shabbat. That's the point, your special dress. And in fact, we know, Tein Lechacham V'Yachkam Od, you tell somebody with brains something, he'll go you one further. What is this referring to? Omer Abelazar, this is referring to Rut HaMoaviyah and Shmuel HaRamati. I mean, give you beautiful examples, because Naomi told Rut, go take a shower and put on your perfume and get all dressed up and then go down to the Goren. But that's not what she did, is it? It would be deductive when she actually went and did it. It said first she went down to the Goren and then she did everything that her mother-in-law told her, because she certainly did not want to be spotted going down where everybody knows what she's tippin-toeing down there for. And because of that, it would not have been appropriate. So she did it the right way. That's Tein Lechacham V'Yechkam Od. Shmuel Anavi, when he was a kid, remember what happened, that he hears this voice calling him, and he runs into Eli, and finally Eli understands it's crazy. It's got to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's calling him, and that he's going to be getting a Nevius. So he said to him, next time you hear that voice, so you should say, Ve'amarta daber Hashem, ki shomea avdecha. You should speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because your servant is listening. But that's not what he said. Because it'll be the day k'tiv be'i, ve'yavo Hashem ve'yityatzei ve'yikro ke'pam be'pam, that Hashem appeared once again and called out the way he did these three times before. Shmuel, Shmuel. And Shmuel did not say, speak, O Lord. He said, speak, whoever the heck you are. I'm not gonna jump to any conclusions. He just said, daber, ki shomea avdecha, lo amar daber Hashem, lo amar daber Hashem. And anyway, speaking about Ruth, it says, Vatelech, Vatavo. What do you mean she went and she came? I mean, what was she wanting and coming about? She said, Vatelaket Basadeh. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Shahalcha, Uvat, Alacha, Uvat. She kept going and went back until she found the right people. Achem Matz'ah, B'nei Adama, Muhuganim, Leilech Imahem. Vayomer Boaz l'naro anitzav al hakotzri. L'mi ha'nara hazot? So who is this girl? Isn't that weird? Boaz, the Gadol Hador, like that's what he usually does? Like, who's the pretty girl? Is that his derech? L'shol b'nara? Omer Rabbi Elazar, obviously he saw something that really impressed him. Dvar chachmara abba. He saw that she was a bekiyah in the dinim of leket, and that she would only take if there were shnei shibolim lakta, but shlosha shibolim she would be not lakta. And in the Braita it says he saw tremendous sniut in her, that if the leket was to be taken on the actual stalk, which is also there's leket if it was or shikhov was left behind. So then Elmdot, she would stand and take it. And if it was leket that had fallen to the ground, then she was very careful not to bend in order to take it. She would sit in order not to expose herself and therefore should not float miushav. And then he tells her, Koti Bakim im na'arotai. So I mean, to talk about tidbakin, tidbakin is like a lashon of real intimacy, you know? So is it the derech of Boaz lidabeki manashim? I mean, what does it mean? It seems like a very forward way of talking. Omar Rabbi Elazar, kiven dechoza, since he knew beruach hakodesh, vatishak or palachamuta, verud dafkamba, dafke, he saw that she was shayecha to the dveikus, the klal Yisrael, Amar Sharilid Bukiba. Then that is a sign that this is the girl that one has to be attached to. Vayomer la Boaz la'et ha'ochel gishi alon, and he gives her six of these grains. What kind of weird thing is that? Amar Belazaram remez ramazla atida malchut beit David latzeit mimbrech. First of all, it says that he said gishi halom. What's that halom? That halom is the lashon of malchus. And we see that because David HaMelech says, after Nosan HaNavi told him that he was zeicher to the malchus and keser malchus, so he went into the Mishkan and he said, Mi anochi Hashem Elokim umi beiti keviatani ad halom. So obviously that halom was his response to malchus. Same thing happens by Moshe Rabbeinu, where Hashem tells him, Al tikrav halom. From there, we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mavakish Malchus at that moment. V'tavalt pitech b'chometz. Omer Rabbi Elazar, you see from here, shachometz yofel lishrav. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar? No. That's not the point. The point is that everything that he was doing, Boaz, were remazim. And he was ramazla atid ben latzet mimech shema asav kashim kachometz. Even though I'm saying all these great things about you and yimas kotech shlema, which we learn means Shlomo HaMelech, but there's going to be one kid that's going to be coming from you that maybe you can be mitaken. And that I'm talking about is Menashe. Vateshev mitzad hakotzrim. So she sat by the side of the Kotzrim, but that means that she was completely separated by Boaz, by all of the Kotzrim. Amar Rabbi Elazar mitzad haKotzrim velo bitoch haKotzrim. What was he being merames with that? Ramazla she'atida malchut beit David she'titchalek, that there's going to be two completely different malchiyos. Vayitzpot lokoli vatochal, Amar Rabbi Elazar, when it says vatocha vatispa vetotar, it means vatocha bimei David, vatispa bimei Shlomo, vatotar bimei Chizkiyahu. Some say it goes beyond that, and that actually, ikere amri vatocha bimei David ubimei Shlomo. Vatispa is in the closing years of the Malchus bimei Chizkiyah. And then vatotar was bimei Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was a descendant of David HaMelech. The Omar Mar, Ahurire de Rebbe, have a otir mishvor malka, that you should know that the stable person of Rebbe was more, we was at a greater fortune than even the king of Persia. That's how rich Rebbe was. B'matnita tana, vatochal means ba'olam hazeh, vatispa means the Yamot HaMashiach, vatotar means li'atid lavon. Okay, Rabotai, with those beautiful words, may we be zoche to Yemos HaMashiach this week, Bezrat Hashem, Elio HaNavi, Bimera V'Yameinu.